Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Burden of Leadership podcast. Fellas, what's going on?
Not much. Ready for another episode. Ready for some good conversation.
Let's dive in. I'm Paul Tenhaken. I'm the mayor of the greatest city in Sioux Falls.
The greatest city.
Yes. The greatest city in the greatest state, in the greatest country in the world.
Absolutely. I'm Vonnie Hariri, co-founder of Think3D.
And Tamian Dysart, Man About Town, other co-founder, Think3D.
So if you've listened to the podcast before, we call it The Burden of Leadership because it's really about all things leadership.
Yeah.
Time, energy, principles, how to be leaders in your community. One of the concepts that we tend to talk about, not only on this show, but just when we're talking offline or whatever, is how do we unite in our community to make Sioux Falls better? Mm-hmm. And there's a concept that goes way back to the Roman times called civitas.
Yes.
All right. And it's initially like a Greek Roman term. And it basically has to do, and I'll let Tamian read the definition of the fact that we're not just consumers of a society. There's a responsibility with being part of a society.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So the actual definition, civitas is an ancient idea that people meet, exchange, settle, and build a community around shared resources. They call it home. The word civitas suggests civic-mindedness, citizenship, and civility, a sense of shared community and purpose. Vonnie, in your mind, again, talk about civitas and why this is an important topic, especially for the Burden of Leadership podcast.
Yeah, that one is big for me because civitas is the idea of responsibility of citizenship. It is the concept that in order to be a citizen of something, right, you have to contribute to that thing. Because that is the thing that staves off tyranny. A lot of time people think is, you know, raw power or guns or anything like that. Participation is what staves off tyranny. It's easy to see when somebody's stealing if you're helping count the books. It's easy to see when somebody's lying when you're in the room. It's easy to see when somebody's not doing what they said when you're doing it with them. Mm-hmm. When you're participating in your community, it makes it so less likely that you're taken advantage of, but it also makes it more likely that it works better for everyone because everyone is a participant. And right now, just by the nature of how the world works, it's more consumerism, you know, and the person is a customer most of the time. You know the phrase, customer is always right, came from a time when the customer sometimes wasn't right and people were trying to make it right. But that's been happening for so long that what frame of your life are you not a customer? Mm-hmm. Like 24 hours a day, even when you're asleep, something's being sold to you. So you're always a customer. So if you're always a customer and you think you're always right because of that, you just expect. You just want things. You want it to be the way it should be versus what you make it. Mm-hmm. And so civitas is a really important concept for me, especially if you want to have a special place to live in. Mm-hmm.
So last week we had what's called the naturalization ceremony, Sioux Falls. We had 207 new citizens take the oath, become citizens of the U.S. It's probably one of the coolest things I get to do in my job is going like welcome these new residents to our community. Yeah. And I kind of have a core talk I give when I get up there. One, I make them take a selfie because you're not American until you take a selfie.
That is for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That is for sure.
But two, I talked to them about, okay, now that you're a citizen and you're a resident of Sioux Falls, that comes with a responsibility. And you're not just a consumer of the services that the government provides or that, you know, different nonprofits provide. You're supposed to be an active participant in the city and in the community. And I think some heads nod at that, and some, I think, still kind of wrestle with that concept. But speaking just purely for what I see in Sioux Falls, what has made this community great has been the fact that over time there has been people in this community who have said, it's my turn to get involved, to get my hands dirty, to make a better community. And I think you guys even model the way of that. I mean, I know you do a lot of stuff in our city that it's pro bono or you don't get paid for, but you just feel called to do that work. What I'm seeing, though, and I want your opinions on this, I'll maybe start this with you, Tamian, is I'm seeing a decrease in the amount of people who are willing to do that, who are willing to get their hands dirty and do the work because someone else will do it. Someone else will run for office. Someone else will start a nonprofit that will address this. Someone else will mentor. I don't have time to mentor. And so Civitas is the opposite of that, saying we all have a responsibility to do that, but you see a declining civitas happening. At least I do. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of the responsibility is how do we ignite that, and how do we grow that kind of culture of wanting to be engaged in a community?
Well, I think what I like about the word civitas is active participation, active engagement. And I can see, if I were to theorize how we got here, right? Our brains don't care about success. It cares about comfortability. I mean, that's 200,000 plus years of evolution. Our brains don't want to have to do the hard thing. And in the world in the last couple of decades with social media, the internet, there's so many different things diluting our energy and distracting. That's the easy thing, to go get off work. I could go participate in this thing, or I can just go chill or scroll on this type of thing. But yet everyone has opinions, right? That's the kind of the rub that I have is, you know, I truly believe that Sioux Falls is the greatest community, especially when you have 200,000 plus, where you're only a degree away from being able to get in front of the mayor or the head of the chamber or almost anybody, right? You're a phone call away. But that gap of desire for seeing better, but yet an unwillingness to do something about it. Again, obviously you get it all the time. People almost speak of the mayor like you're a dictator by way of you can just wave your hand and make anything happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you still have to go through, there's a city council and all these different things.
Right.
And yet there's no curiosity of how things actually work.
Yeah.
Right? How do you get close enough to be a degree or two away from, even if you can't directly control that thing, mm-hmm. you have influence, but to your point of how I believe Sioux Falls got to this place in terms of a great community was active participation from the generations prior to, well, with that not being seen as much in this next generation, again, I do have major concern about what our city, our community will look like a generation or two from now. So I'm going to toss that to you, Vonnie, again, in that space of you've been coaching middle schoolers for mm-hmm. quite some time. You see a huge difference in that. As you see this next generation evolve, what would your takeaway be of, like, how can we start to get more folks active participants in the solution?
I think in nature, things are cyclical, right? They're going to come back around just because they need to, and that's that concept, you know, hard times make soft men make hard times, et cetera. And so it comes back around, but it usually comes back around when it needs to, when it's forced, and that usually means we're working from behind, and that's what we want to avoid. We want to be ahead of the game. And when you have a situation where I feel like people are less in civitas because there's less civility, right? What is the upside of doing these things? Right now, you know, you're basically cast out into the wolves if you run for these things. Everything's in play. Mm-hmm. You know, people get to talk to you however they want. They get to come at you however they want about whatever, and they can know nothing about a particular subject, and they can vilify you for it. Who would sign up for that, mm-hmm. right? And my thing always with people is, you know what I'm
Some
saying?
Some clown would. I don't know.
Yeah, who would sign up for that, right? I would always say to people, it's like, you know, it has to be what you don't want it to be in order for it to be what you want it to be. If you want to have a situation where you don't really have to think about how any of this runs, or you don't have to actively participate in it, well, guess what? Somebody's going to decide that for you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what people say they don't want. They don't want singular people or a small group of people to be the determining factor of what happens to their community. But they're not. Now, let's be honest, is that there's an outweighed voice that happens, is disproportionate. If you're, you know, again, if you're a developer of a certain size, if you're a leader of a certain tenure, if you're a person of a certain means, your voice is naturally going to be disproportionate to somebody who's not. That's just the nature of the situation. I can't think of any example of when that has not been the case, no matter what community, any time in history. And so sometimes I think that can de-incentivize people from wanting to participate because it doesn't feel like they have as much say as, say, other folks. But that's why public office is one of those huge components of what it is that you can do. And then localizing what it is that you do. Being a coach mm-hmm. is part of it. We also have to redefine what contributing is. That it's not being a senator all the time. It's not being, you know, the leader of an organization all the time. Sometimes it is baking cookies for these people, dropping off food to these people, doing outreach to these people, coaching these young people. And I think as we elevate these positions and we bring these ones back to earth in terms of what these people are, they're humans too, then I think we get into a space where we can humanize everybody's position in this thing.
Well, I heard two good guys once say the price of an opinion is
a suggestion.
Yeah. and participating and getting involved. And so on a local level, what I see, and again, I look at everything with a political lens because I live in that world right now, but there are a lot of people in communities that have strong opinions on how they think their city should be run, on the decisions that elected leaders are making, but don't want to do the hard work of showing up to the meetings, writing the letters, you know, organizing coalitions to, you know, get involved in an issue that they're passionate about. So, real example, every Tuesday night we have a city council meeting. Mm-hmm. And for those people who are listening, who have never been to a city council meeting, you should go to one sometime in your community, if it's Sioux Falls or wherever it is. But on every issue that we talk about, we have what's called public input.
God bless you.
God bless me is right. And public input is that. It's people can come up and they get, depending on the issue, they get 3 or 5 minutes to say whatever they want on that topic. And you don't have to be a PhD. You don't even have to live in this town. You get, that's the First Amendment, baby, and it's incredible. But what I will tell you is that we get sometimes a disproportionate amount of uneducated people at these meetings, and the people whose voices we really need to hear from, we never hear from. And it hurts my heart sometimes because we have some important topics, heavy, weighty topics, and no one's showing up. No one's showing up to support the city, support the community on these issues. And then when something passes or doesn't pass and doesn't go someone's way, then all of a sudden this tsunami of negative feedback and mean tweets on Twitter and all this stuff, or X or whatever we're calling it these days, come. And so, well, where were you? Where was your civitas two weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when we were going through this, and you need to make your voice heard, you know? So that opinion comes with a price, and that's participating and coming up with ideas and suggestions.
So what does it look like for you, though? Like, obviously in city council, I'm sure there's only so much feedback that you can give in terms of like, hey, it sounds like you're really passionate about it. I would love for you to participate in the solution. I'm sure that doesn't go over, you know, a whole lot. But when you have a chance to actually influence somebody, so someone comes to you, actually gets a meeting with you, and they're passionate about a thing, how do you approach that to, again, welcoming them in, A, to really see how this is run? Because, again, it's not like you can just make fair swoop decisions. There's a process to these things. But how do you challenge folks to participate in the solution, or part of the solution, towards what they're so passionate about?
Dude, that's huge. It's a great question, because a lot of, just like in, we come up with the term armchair quarterback, comes from sports, because we tell, you know, Josh Allen had a terrible game, he should have done this, or they should have done this play call. Easy for you to say sitting on your couch, but when you're in the moment, like, put you in that chair and then tell me what you would have done. So what I encourage people to do to get involved in their communities is realize there's a plethora of ways that you can have impact in your community. One is coming to a meeting and talking to your elected body. There's all kinds of social media channels. You can DM me. I mean, I'm probably one of the most accessible mayors we've ever had in terms of like digital channels. There's finding coalitions and uniting people around a topic. One voice, if one voice says something great, if two people say it, okay. Now three or four or five say it, okay. Now there's something there. And so some of the best people that can move stuff forward are good at building relationships and you know, organizing coalitions to move things forward. The key in all that, though, is doing it in a way that fosters civility and respect. And I tell you, man, civitas, root word of that is civility, and that is what's lost. So I do take meetings with people on different issues, and the ones who are just really mad and really angry and don't offer a pragmatic, realistic solution, it almost does their cause more harm than good. But if you can do it in a way that's respectful and takes into effect the gravity and the difficulty of a situation, on decisions elected people have to make, you get a lot further in the process. So I just am a big fan of, and I try to model this too, there's a lot of people that I disagree with in our community on different topics, a lot of elected leaders in this world that I just disagree with tremendously. But just simply criticizing them and posting stupid memes or talking at a bar on how terrible they are, is it helpful? It doesn't help at all.
Well, I think, again, Bonnie, I'll give your 2 cents on this one, because, you know, public discourse and dialogue, how do we do it in a healthy way? We've talked a lot about disagree to a degree. Like, we have more in common than we have not,
But in your mind, again, if you could wave one like law of the land of getting people to abide by these set of rules to help force people into more effective dialogue versus just discourse and just simply living there, what would that be? What would your approach be to get folks being able to engage in true civility about actually a solution versus just button heads for sake of button heads?
And they exist, you know what I mean, which is take pause, seek first to understand, then be understood. Collect your thoughts, you know. Don't think about things, think through things. A lot of times people think about things, the enormity of it, the significance of it, the frustration of it, but they don't think through it, which is step one. What's step one for us to do this? And then what's step one to doing step one? What's step one to doing step one and step one? A lot of people want to go to step one, step two, step three. A lot of people want to skip the steps. But it's not even step one, step two. It's step one, step one, step one, step one, step one, till you get to what do I do next? So the very next thing I do I pick up the phone? Do I send an email? Do I sit and think? Do I sleep on it? Do I do whatever? People don't get to that point. What I would love to see, and what has just kind of gone away, is just that simple kind of like Schoolhouse Rock idea, where there was a period in time where whether you were in school or not, we taught you to a degree how to be a citizen. And now it's kind of up for grabs, like everything. Facts are not really facts anymore. You know, you get to decide what you believe or what you don't believe. And so even somebody truly understanding the path to being a participant, and the path to being a participant that is effective. Like, there's a lot of ways for people to give their opinion. I don't know that people think that there's a lot of ways for them to give their opinion to have it matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it goes into the void, and you do all of the things, and you send a message and all of that, and you don't close the loop. You don't normally get feedback. You don't normally what happened to it or how you contributed to that thing. And I think that is another thing that de-incentivized people from participating in the conversation. Now, my thing is for people to realize that the same amount of characters that you put into that tweet that you know is going into the ethos to do nothing more than to expand your brand, your clout, that exact same amount of characters directed to an email of one of your elected officials should produce a much greater result. Mm-hmm. That very same thing. Does it? Who knows? And I think that is an opportunity to communicate that and then to teach, not just in school, but just in amongst our community. Here's how you engage. Here's how we talk. Here's how we go about it. And this is what happens if you do. This is likely what happens if you don't.
God, I think that's so good, man. I think we could have a course at even a collegiate level on teaching civil discourse. And just like, because like what you just said, you are so right, because I get nasty stuff sent to me all the time on social media and tweets and all this stuff. But when I get something in an email, I'm more likely to like respond, or it's a medium that I'm not communicating in public, and everyone sees this thing. I'm like, let's have a conversation, you know? And honestly, that's when the walls are broken down, and that's when civility starts to happen and occur. And so people who think that engaging on some of those platforms is an effective way of making change, man, they're going to be sorely disappointed when they never make any change at all, because that's not...
Well, and again, it's creating an environment where you're getting who you don't want. When somebody wants to have that conversation with you in public, which is understandable because you want it to be on the record, you want it to be heard, and that has since been our tool. We see it in customer service, we see it in the political, that is proven that the most effective tool is in the public and when in the voice of the public. Like, you could send your complaint to whatever business. The chances of that happening, you're gonna get bounced around six times in six different departments, and nothing's probably gonna happen. You blast them on Twitter, if you got a big enough following, you're gonna get a response, right? So that just motivates people to do that. But when you're having that conversation out in public, and you know people are going over to fine-tooth comb, trying to find something, you have to have this sterile conversation that's void of any real feeling or whatever, which is the very thing that people hate. Mm-hmm. But anything short of that is gonna run you into it. And when people develop an aversion to the truth, you develop a taste for lies. Yeah. As soon as me telling you the truth, we're not gonna do that for 2 years because we don't have the money for it, and quite honestly, it's not in our priority, and you're gonna get it for 3 months, it's better just, we're thinking on that, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And so we start to de-incentivize people from telling us the truth and being the thing that we want them to be.
Yeah. Well, I think about, I love in Civitas, like being civic-minded, right? And then just asking people, like, okay, what goal are you trying to accomplish in this thing? Because, back to what I said before,
we have more in common than we have different. But when social media, it always starts with these differences, how do we start to build those commonalities? Okay, cool. With what you're saying right now, how does that contribute to the betterment of Sioux Falls? And if you can answer that question, like, oh, it'll help XYZ versus just you're wrong. Okay, yeah. What's your idea? But that idea of commonality, like we have so much more in common. Like again, we only are different by a degree. 80% of we want good, healthy communities. You want opportunities, safe schools, all these type of things. But you see such a lack of that, of effectiveness in that, when especially this next generation, that's where my concern is. When they're growing up in this world of seeing our last political cycle, that's normal for them. Right? And you see bullying at an all-time high, like where and when, and this is one of my, I'll call it hope for aspirations for Sioux Falls, that we can truly separate ourselves to be different in that, to show here's how things really get done. Let's peel back the curtain. Again, we're looking to model that with Think 3D again, as why we're so effective in so many areas is because we build bridges, we have the conversations, we don't agree on everything, but it's about commonality. One thing you are not gonna accuse us of is that we don't want a better Sioux Falls by way of what we're actually doing.
100%.
So in that, I think one of the dangers in that, on a broader scale, I think back to like George Floyd, right? When he was murdered, and how that carried forward in so many different communities around social justice, equity. It's easy to get tethered into this national narrative. Mm-hmm. When we are a unique city, all the various things, but when we don't have our very clear and present Sioux Falls narrative happening, at least being promoted at that level, how do we truly start to get more traction to be more civic-minded in those type of things, telling our narrative? What are you guys' thoughts about how do we separate ourselves from national narratives that will, when Fox News and MSNBC is gonna continue to politicize and make money off our detention, how do we carve out our narrative of Sioux Falls to make sure that we can be what we want to be on purpose with intention?
Well, I think the first thing with that is you have to realize that that narrative exists, right? And so even if it doesn't exist here, it's a national narrative. So so to that point, that narrative when George Floyd was murdered was that we need to defund cops. Cops are bad. We need to step back from police officers. There's inherent racism in police forces. And so when there's a theme, you have to acknowledge that is out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I've learned about myself is that when someone's criticizing me about something, there's probably a thread of truth somewhere in that, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's hard for us to sometimes deal with. So when that national narrative came out, you know, we have to realize that, okay, there's maybe a thread of truth in this that we have to acknowledge and we have to work through. Now, is the city of Sioux Falls the same as Seattle and Minneapolis and Denver? And no. But to think that we are without fault or without blame, that's not right either. So we have to then go out and craft our own narrative and say, hey, this is what you're hearing nationally. This is what we're doing locally. We're acknowledging that this is an issue, and here's some things we're doing locally to ensure we never get to that point. Are we perfect? No. But are we doing some things different here to ensure we never get to that point? We are, and here's what it is. So I think where you get in trouble is when you just discount stuff immediately and say, that could never happen in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That has never happened here. That's a total false narrative. Like, you have to acknowledge that, yeah, there's a thread of truth that could happen here, that there is racism in our city. I see it in my office, and I acknowledge it, and we deal with it. So it's when you just get dug in and you say, there's just no way.
Well, and not even that there's no way, is that unimpeded, it is likely. This is what I mean. We talk about Seattle and your Chicago's and all those things because these people have become poster children for this kind of situation. But like I try to remind people is that we're not special. We're early, right? You put a 500,000 more people here, it's going to get weird, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I mean? When you have shared resources, shared space, all of those different type of things. And if you do not have mechanisms to enhance and utilize trust, if you do not have mechanisms to communicate and develop relationships, if you do not have mechanisms to get eye to eye and overcome issues versus having them out in the world dealing with factors that may not necessarily relate to us, it will happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's like, in a world where it's getting ever challenging, if you're not getting better, you're not getting worse. So if we're not trying to create these roles to be excellent, mm-hmm. we're going to be ill-prepared for when those moments come for us. And what would make us think that we're so special that those moments can't come for us?
Dude, in 2009, Forbes ranked Minneapolis the safest city in America.
This is what I'm saying.
That's 14 years ago, safest city in America. Cool. And a lack of civitas, people getting engaged in the right way. I'm not saying they didn't lack people who have gotten engaged, but they've gotten engaged in the wrong way, and it's created anger and tension and anti-cop sentiment, and they've reaped what they've sown.
Yeah.
And so you are totally right in that there's not a day that goes by where I don't think about, man, Minneapolis was 200,000 people like Sioux Falls once. Mm-hmm. And how do we foster, you know, civility and strong engagement with our community and community-based policing, making people's opinions feel heard and valid.
Because we've been homogenous for however long.
We have been.
And so now as people come from wherever, I tell people all the time, it's cool when the cranes go up. But once they go up, they don't come back down.
Yeah.
See Austin, see Charlotte, see Nashville, see whatever. They don't come back down. And the only way to get people to not want to come live in your community is for it to not be as good. And who's signing up for that? Right? None of us. So more people are going to come. That's just the natural reality of it. And we know eventually the coast have to draw into the middle of the country. So all these things are inevitable.
Yeah.
No one can argue these things. It's just about how do we approach these things? How do we attack these things? And if there's not an attention, not just teaching civics passively in school, And I don't mean the pure indoctrination of blind patriotism, but I mean clear-minded, clear thinking. If this is what you have, it's partly because you participated or it's partly because you didn't. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's what you got. Mm-hmm. And so you better work it the best you can, be thoughtful, be considerate. Here's how we communicate and develop leadership as a part of the process, which is why we're so passionate about that. Because I don't care what role you play. You need to be a leader, and that's the problem. We always wanted to be up here, but the reality of it is you go to any person who's really accomplished anything, and you say, who changed your life? Was it more likely that it was a senator, a president, or CEO, or was it more likely that it was a teacher, a coach, a janitor, a mechanic, next-door neighbor? Almost to 100%.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those type of individuals that impacted your life and changed that way. So if we don't elevate those people, let them know that they're leaders and have an expectation that everybody who fills a role, no matter what it is a leader, you're always going to be up against it.
Yeah. Well, my final thought on that is, you know, how we get there is how do we stretch people's minds to be more like have that idea of like global citizenship? Right. And when I was growing up in schools in Sioux Falls, we had 5% diversity. I think now the incoming class is over 50% diversity. So our community is changing. And so how do we get to this space of more genuine curiosity, understanding people's impediments or problems? Again, what is it? What is the experience coming here as an immigrant refugee? What is that like, you know, from all the different aspects of this? And so in that state, I like the conversation I'm hearing within a lot of like the nonprofit worlds when people are funding certain things. They want to hear this one golden word, collaboration.
Yeah.
Where are you collaborating? And the reality is we can't look to any one mayor, any one business, any one person to do this. It's going to take all of us, right? Because this thing is changing right in front of us, whether we like it or not. And I think that's where, again, there's a lot of people missing that boat. And so my final thought on that is simply like how we get there is truly in almost everything you do, how is it collaborative? How are you cooperating with the momentum of already what's happening? And if it's not for the better, then you're part of the problem.
Yeah. Civitas, civility, communicating with others, doing it in a way that respects diversity of opinions, and honestly, not doing it on social media.
That's the theme.
So, good stuff, guys. So, that's another episode of the Burden of Leadership podcast. Subscribe, do all the things at the links. Give us a listen, give us a like, give us a rating. We'll be back with more content soon. So, for me, Bonnie and Tamian, Burden of Leadership, we're out. See you guys.
See you.